I mean, listen, we're talking about practice.
Playoffs? What are we talking about? Playoffs?
Come after me! I'm a man! I'm 40!
This is KETR's Locker Room, your sports podcast for Northeast Texas. Each week, we look at the biggest headlines in sports and highlight local sports stories. Here's your hosts.
All right, welcome to today's KETR Locker Room. I'm Cooper Welch, and I'm here with my host, Taylor Phelps and Jordan Davis. We got a big show for you guys today. We got Commerce High School's quarterback, Sam Wells, on the phone. He's going to talk to us for a little bit, do some rapid-fire stuff. Then we're also going to talk the Open Championship in the second segment of the show, finish off with the Rangers, and of course, Cowboys discussion. Training camp starts in just a few days, guys. So I'm sure you guys can hear it in the background. There's a lot of severe weather going on, so this show may or may not happen, but we're going to try to get it to you. Anyways, guys, let's talk to Sam Wells. He's on the phone with us right now. Sam, first, just tell us a little bit about yourself, where you're from, how you guys ended up in Commerce, and things like that.
All right. My dad is he's a head football coach, and he'd been a defense coordinator at many other schools before that, and this is his first head coaching job, so we took the opportunity to move here, and we came here going into my eighth grade year, so I've been here since eighth grade, and I really like it a lot. So,
what other schools were you at before Commerce?
Before Commerce, we were in Springtown, and before that, we were in Abilene.
Okay.
And before that, we were Sulphur Springs, and then before that, we were in Orange, and before that, we were in Winsboro, which is where I was born. So
you've been all over Texas, seen a lot of football then.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
All right, Sam, can you tell us now, I see that you've been playing a quarterback position for the Tigers for three seasons, and the stats show that you've been playing well for the first two seasons. Can you tell us what you plan to do this last season to make it your best?
You just focus and not try to do too much. Just relax and play the game, and everything will take care of itself. I got good receivers, good linemen that help me, and, you know, just relax and play the game. That's my biggest thing. That's what helps me the most.
Good answer.
Sam, you've been with the Tigers the past two seasons, like we talked about, and they've taken major steps forward in both of those seasons after not making the playoffs for 6 years in a row. What do the Tigers have to do to take the next step forward and make a deep run in the playoffs or even get a championship?
We just need to really build up in pre-district and start playing our best football when district starts.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, last year we lost to Pottsboro by 3 points, and we would have beat them. We could have been co-district champions, and that would have helped a lot in our playoff run. But, you know, just little things like that. And we just need to play our game, and we're mature this year. I think we had a bunch of young guys playing last year that are going to be, this will be their second year to start, so that'll help a lot. And I think we're ready to take it to the next level.
All right, Sam. Well, for those of us that don't know and haven't been to a Commerce Tigers game in a while, tell us, if we attend a game on a Friday night, what are we going to expect from Commerce this year?
We're going to be perfect on offense. We're going to try to make good plays and move the ball down the field. And on defense, we're going to play fast, and we're going to try to hit you, and we're going to get after you, and we're just going to be 100% full speed all the time and be the most competitive team anybody plays all year.
Now, I know you're a quarterback on offense, but I know a lot of times in these small 2A schools, the athletes do a lot more than just play quarterback. Is there any other position you play or any other part of the game?
Yes, sir. I'll play safety. I might start playing more when district rolls around, so that'll be exciting. I haven't really had a chance to do that before, but I think I'm ready to do that now. I think I can handle both, so that'll be exciting to see how that goes this year.
All right, Sam, you know, as a quarterback, you have a lot of pressure on you. Can you tell me some of the areas you improved on in your quarterbacking game?
Just the mental part of it. For my sophomore year, you know, I think I relied on a lot of older players to, you know, help me out. And now it's the game was so fast then, and it's still fast now, but it's not nearly the same. I can slow things down, and I can think a lot more about things before the snap and all that that I couldn't do before. So I think the mental part of it is a lot, but also just getting older and getting stronger and faster, I think that's going to help a lot this year. And just trusting my teammates to help me make plays.
Now, Sam, you've had a lot of players that were really big for you on offense, like Buck Wilson. I know that he's gone after this last year. What do you think is going to be the biggest key to next year, and who do you think hurts the most that you're losing?
Buck was great, and we're going to miss him. But we also lost a couple linemen. Blake Madewell, he was really good. And Rod Jackson, he was in my class, and he moved. But I think on offense this year it's different because I didn't feel comfortable mm-hmm. throwing the ball to all four receivers last year, just to be honest. But this year I don't have a problem throwing it to anybody we got, you know. And I know they're all studs, and they can do what they got to do. And you know, on the line, we're going to be younger, but we're also doing a little different stuff on offense that works more to their advantage, I think. So I think we'll be just fine.
All right, Sam. Well, you're now a big senior at Commerce High School, and graduation is just around the corner. We all know from experience that you'll be there before you know it. But any clues on what colleges you think you'll be heading to?
Right now, it's looking like North Texas or Sam Houston. Great coaches there, and really great coaches. And I'm going to go during football season, watch some games, and get a visit and all that in. But you know, it's getting to the point now. I'm not worried about college. I just want to win games for my team this year.
That's a good way to look at it.
That's a good way to look at it. Okay, Sam. You know, we go through a little phase here where we do a rapid fire, and we just want to see more about you. You know, have the people out here understand you more, so that way when they come watch you, they can be like, okay, I know a little bit about Sam. So are you ready?
Yes, sir.
All right, Sam, here we go. So, Sam, first, what's your favorite sport to watch?
My favorite sport to watch? Football, definitely. Gets the hair standing up on the back of my neck, watching guys run around and play, and the greatest game ever made.
Okay.
What's your favorite sport to play?
Favorite sport to play? Football also. I also love baseball, so it's a hard one.
Best vacation you've ever had?
Best vacation I've ever had. Well, we go to Garner State Park every year, so 12 summers in a row, so it's pretty much the same thing every year, so it's great every year.
What's your ideal job?
My ideal job? Probably to be a college strength coach.
Okay.
Well, that's different. Favorite thing you like to do when you're bored?
Favorite thing I like to shoot my bow.
Wow.
That's interesting. If you could pick your last meal, what would it be?
My last meal? A huge steak and a piece of pizza also. And
I like
my mom makes these really good cheesy potato things.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Okay, if you could only grab 5 items from a burning room and it's not animals or people, what would you grab?
My Bible, my bow, a gun.
He's getting ready for the end of the world.
Yeah.
There's a pillow I really like. I'd have to get it. And man, that's a tough one. I don't know. Yeah, my pillow and my blanket. I've had the same blanket since I was like 5. So, yeah, that one.
Yeah, that's all right.
What's your favorite food?
My favorite food? Well, anything Italian food's great. I love that. And but yeah, steak, you can't go wrong with that.
Watch a game on TV or at the stadium?
At the stadium, definitely. When the music's on, the lights and all that.
Right.
Completely different.
Would you rather be rich and lonely or poor and have a lot of friends?
Poor and have a lot of friends.
What's your best ice cream flavor?
Best ice cream flavor? Homemade in the Shade by Blue Bell. It's vanilla and it has chocolate all mixed in it.
I've never heard of it.
Favorite athlete?
Drew Brees.
Favorite team?
That's a tough one. Probably Seattle Seahawks or the 49ers.
Okay.
Wow. So you're a quarterback. Are you a Tony Romo fan or not?
No, I'm not. I'm not a big Cowboys fan.
Yes, I like them.
Do you prefer college or professional sports?
College.
Do you like or hate mascots?
I like them. They're fine as long as they don't, you know, get on my nerves.
Do you think soccer will ever be relevant in the United States?
No, soccer is not an American game.
Okay, okay. Beach or mountains?
Mountains, definitely. I love the mountains.
If you could live anywhere in the world, where would you live?
Anywhere in the world, where would I live? Wyoming.
Favorite band?
Favorite band? Probably, I don't know, you can't go wrong with George Strait.
What's the favorite song on Sam Well's iPod right now?
Favorite song on my iPod? Alive by Kid Cudi.
Okay. What's the last movie you saw in theaters?
Last movie I saw in theaters? Actually, Monsters University.
Good movie.
I gotta see that.
I have to see that. Is it good?
It's good. It's good.
Yeah,
movie.
It's good. It's funny.
I really want to see Despicable Me. The second one.
Yeah.
So I have to ask you a question, a personal question. If you could have been at any high school in the United States to play football, where would you go?
Right here. I think this is, I think Commerce is where the Lord intended us to be. So I think that's where we're supposed to be. And I wouldn't have it any other way. I'm happy here.
If you could have one superpower, what would it be?
Superpower. Probably to fly, because I don't want to get on an airplane, but I still think it'd be cool to fly. So, yeah.
If there's a movie about your life, who would you like to see play the lead role?
Matt Damon. He's a beast.
Okay.
If you could play for any NFL team, if any NFL team offered you a contract, who would you play for?
San Francisco 49ers.
Do you think you could take Colin?
Yeah, I don't know. He's a stud, but I like yeah.
All right, last question, Sam. Would you rather lie every time or tell the truth every time?
Tell the truth, because lying just gets you in trouble.
Good answer. Good answer.
All right, Sam, thank you so much. We're going to end the rapid-fire segment and then take a quick break and be back after this. This is KETR's Locker Room, Cooper Welch, Taylor Phelps, and Jordan Davis. We'll be back in a moment. All right, we are back here on KETR's Locker Room. Cooper Welch, Jordan Davis, and Taylor Phelps. It's going to be an interesting second segment of the show because we are moved to the secondary studio and we can't hear each other talk very well and we're sharing microphones. So it's going
to
be an interesting segment.
I just say Jordan needs to talk. That's
and I can't even find my outline of stuff, but we'll share. Well, that's what we're here
we
for.
We know the news. Yeah. We know what's going on.
Here we go. Here's mine. So here we go, folks. The second segment today, we're talking about the Open Championship, a lot of Rangers stuff and MLB stuff, and then we're going to finish off the rest of the show with an update on the Jaws QB list, some talk about Josh Brent retiring, and the Cowboys filling their roster up. So, guys, first, the Open Championship. Now, this is a little bit outdated. I wrote this yesterday. Right now, I think Angel Cabrera or someone else is in first at 3-under, and Tiger Woods is tied for second. Now,
he's right there.
That's
pretty
surprising.
He was right there yesterday, too. And,
yeah.
And we always know that Tiger, I don't think he's ever won on the last day being behind, but he's right there to where on the third day he could take the lead. So this is a big thing for Tiger, who I don't think has won a major championship in at least 5 years. Mm-hmm. So to see Tiger Woods, basically the biggest golf phenomenon ever, especially in our generation. I saw a thing on Yahoo News the other day about the difference between when Tiger tees off to after Tiger tees off. It's so crowded, you can't even barely see anything.
Yeah.
And then Tiger walks away, and it's like
there's
it's the end of the Open. No one's there. But mm-hmm. So he's a big deal in golf, and if he is to come around and win this Open Championship, you might not see much on ESPN besides him for a couple days.
Yeah, he might be the Tim Tebow story.
Oh, definitely.
Again. Well, do you think there's any chance that he's going to come back and be what he used to be before all this stuff happened?
Gosh, he was so dominant for a while. And I know Jordan had the audacity to comment that golf's a little boring. But
I second that. Golf, I don't watch golf. I was mad yesterday that it ran SportsCenter because I fell asleep 3 times. Take it
we
away,
see
John.
How popular it is, though. And I know for me it's a very awesome popular sport. But for Tiger to reach the pinnacle of where he was is going to be so difficult, especially with some hot young guys like Zach Johnson coming up. And when I say hot young guys, I'm talking about Goff.
Please clarify yourself, please.
So definitely for him to reach that kind of level, I don't think that'll happen again. But I could see him winning, you know, several more majors than what he's already won. Definitely, that I don't think that's not a possibility. Especially if we win this and we maybe see the ball rolling here if Tiger's able to pull this one off.
I agree with Taylor. I think that Tiger Woods, he may not get back to the position that he got at, because you know, young people are coming up. But I can see him winning 2-3 more majors and then calling it quits because he really has nothing else to prove. I mean, he's won for like a decade straight, so I mean,
and we know money's not an issue.
Oh God, so. Money! Despite all of the things he lost, he still have a lot of money. So I think it's toward the end of Tiger Woods. I think it's time for him to call it quits and just chill, just relax.
Well, another update on this is that 4 out of the top 10 spots are held by Americans, and this is the British Open. It's the Open Championship, but it's the British Open. So do you guys think Americans are really starting to come back in the sport? I know we've had a lot of Brits win it recently and not—
The U.S. Open.
Yeah, the U.S. Open.
Was a Brit that won it this last time around. But mm-hmm. Golf is such a day-by-day game, and you're going to have a good day, and you're going to have a bad day.
Right.
And you're going to have a hot tournament, and you're going to have a terrible tournament. So I don't know if this is really the reemergence of United States golf. We've had Phil Mickelson. We've had Tiger Woods dominant. Mm-hmm. We've had Zach Johnson win tournaments. So I don't really think we've been on the downward slope. I think some of the British guys have had hot tournaments. So
yeah.
I think that's what we've seen more than anything.
Okay. Well, let's move on to the Rangers because I know Jordan and I aren't that comfortable with golf. The Cubs pitcher, Matt Garza, has reportedly been told by his team that he'll be traded to either the Rangers, the Dodgers, the Indians, or the Blue Jays.
I've always wondered what that's like, to be told. And I'm sure you get a text or a call. I'm sure you're just sitting at home, mm-hmm. or you're watching SportsCenter, mm-hmm. and all of a sudden, Matt Garza has been talked about as being traded, and you're like,
what?
Okay, so I got to move my family to a different, you know, that's a big deal, a lot bigger deal than I'm going to take a teaching job at Silver Springs when I was at Commerce, and you're taking a job instead of someone's transferring you to somewhere else. But, yeah, like you say, Matt Garza talked about going to the Rangers. I think that's a huge move for the Rangers. And I don't know about you guys, but the position they're in right now, to pick up another pitcher like that, he's like a rental. He's kind of like a Cliff Lee kind of guy.
He's got 1 year on his contract.
1 year. But like we saw, Cliff Lee had a huge decision.
Mm-hmm.
That wasn't an easy decision for him to make. To go back or to go to Philly.
Yeah.
So I definitely think even if this Matt Garza thing goes a year, I see us re-signing him. I don't see why not, especially when he's been with terrible clubs like Chicago.
And Tampa Bay on the off years. Well, I've got 3 questions on this, and I want both of you guys to answer. First, why do the Cubs want to move him? He's a really good pitcher. And then second, why would the Rangers want him? And third, what would the Rangers have to give up to get him? So I'm going to get off the mic myself and let you guys talk.
I've definitely always thought that when you have good players and you're terrible, why keep your good players? I mean, that's what I've thought of from more of a basketball, football perspective. In baseball, you know, I'm not as familiar with the general manager skills as maybe you are, Cooper. But when you have good players like that and you're terrible, what good does it do you? So let's try to rebuild. As we know, they're trying to trade for prospects, for Ranger prospects, and as we've seen in the past, Ranger prospects turn out pretty well when they leave the Rangers. So maybe this is a good move for Chicago. Maybe this can help them become good again.
With Taylor because the Chicago Cubs, they haven't been great since they won the World Series. Let's be real here. It's been over 100 years since they tasted glory. And the times they have came close, their pitching gave it up for them. So the curse is still around Wrigley Field. But for the Rangers, this is a good move because Yu Darvish is still on the DL. He's not 100% healthy. So why not bring in Garza, which is a pretty good pitcher, and help out the rotation even more so when Darvish does come back, you have more of a solid pitching staff. And especially if they're trying to catch Oakland and Boston, they need good pitching.
If the Rangers are trying to get into the playoffs and win, which is all that really matters, they need someone – better than Tepish and Grimm, and to have Garza is a huge— we've seen so many times in the playoffs that's when pitching matters more than anything. That's when it really shows up who's got good pitchers and who doesn't. and it's the total bullpen because you got the seven games right there together. And to have someone like Garza who can win us a game, that's huge. I mean,
Garza
that is
huge. Garza
can win
more than games. Garza can strike people out. Like, I've seen him play in Chicago. I mean, they don't produce runs, but he has pretty good
stats.
And
he's been playing
in
the NL, which is doesn't have as good bats as the AL. Yeah. But I mean, we're talking minor differences here in bats. And I know baseball is a stat game, and those minor differences are huge and bigger than we amount them to be. But still, to have someone like Garza on our roster would change a lot.
It would make Texas fans smile. And I'm thinking Texas probably have to give up a couple prospects. Might have to give up a couple of bucks, but that's not nothing to the Rangers. They have money forever. So I think that the Cubs need to go ahead and get rid of them. Like, try to get some young people to try to, you know, redo the whole franchise. I think Alfonso is going to go next because he's been there for the longest, struggling, thugging it out in Chicago. So I think that, you know, this time it's like, hey, okay, y'all good. Let's give y'all to a good team so y'all can be happy. Because losing is never good in baseball. Because when you lose consistently, ask the Pirates. Ask how they feel right now. They're feeling pretty
huge.
Good.
And in baseball, like you talk about salary caps and stuff too, it's harder to get good players when you're bad. It's like kind of like, you know, Chicago to me has always been in a more unique situation because they have a lot of history with their stadium and stuff. And personally, if I was like, hey, we're going to trade you to the Chicago Cubs, I'm like, well, that's a very storied franchise to be able to go to, you know. Playing Wrigley Field for a while, it's almost like going to the Red Sox. It's like playing in or the Yankees and playing in their stadiums.
The only difference is the Red Sox, we win.
And the Yankees win.
Yeah. We beat the Yankees this year.
So Chicago's kind of a, how do I feel about this? You know, we're going to be terrible, but at least I get to play in Wrigley Field.
But you know you're going to be terrible.
Well, you mentioned Wrigley Field, but do you really even want to play there anymore? I mean, it's one of the smallest in the country. It's got... It's the only stadium that doesn't have a Jumbotron, and it's one of the oldest in the country, too.
I think that's cool, and it's not – well, I got to see what the locker room looks like because I personally don't know what – if the Chicago Cubs locker room's terrible, then maybe I'm going to change my decision.
Right.
But, you know, I do a show like this. I'm a history sports guy. I like the history of sports. So in my perspective, yeah, I think that's awesome.
Right.
I'm obviously not a professional baseball player. So I'm not in those shoes either. Mm-hmm. If I was in that situation too, it'd be a lot more about money than where I'm going to play historically. So, you know, I'm looking at it from a different perspective, but also I think that's cool, but that's just me. So,
right. Well, let's talk some other Rangers stuff, other Rangers pitchers. Colby Lewis didn't pitch too well in his most recent rehab stint. He went, it's not on here, but he went about two innings, gave up four runs, and had four strikeouts to go with that. So is he coming back soon, or are we going to have to just go the rest of the year without him?
I really don't know. Okay. I think just the main thing right now is pick up Matt Garza and hope that he can do something, because as far as Colby Lewis goes, we're not getting the consistency that we should be getting. So it's kind of like, you know, if things work out, they work out. If they don't, let's move on and try to make our team better without him. And then if things happen that are positive with him, then we're in a good spot.
Yeah, I'd say the Rangers stay safe. Probably pick up Garza, leave him there, try to get a little bit better out of him and call him up whenever he's ready. But right now, you know, picking up Garza, a veteran, experienced pitcher, that's the better move for the Rangers because they need some veteran leaders on the bullpen because all of the injuries is happening. So he's still young. I mean, he still have time. I mean, right now they're in a position where they're really trying to make a playoff push because after the All-Star break, that's when it really gets serious. People is trying to make runs. So I don't think too much of it. I feel as though, okay, here's his rehab game. He's going to struggle coming back. So.
Well, some more updates on Rangers injured pitchers. Alexi Ogando is doing well. He allowed just two runs in seven innings with AAA Round Rock. He also had three strikeouts. And then Manny Ramirez went 1-for-4 at the plate again, so that's another update.
It's Manny being Manny.
Yeah, Manny being Manny. Now, some other good news for the Rangers. Jeff Baker, it looks like he's going to come back pretty soon. I know he had a really hot start to the season, had a lot of home runs. His batting average is really high, leading the team in batting average. So it'll be good to get him back, I think. And then just some more updates. Yu Darvish is likely to be activated on Monday for his scheduled start against the Yankees. Now, I don't know about you guys, but I wouldn't want to come back from an injury and face the Yankees in my first game back. I think that's a little crazy.
Maybe not for you, Darvish, though. I mean, let's get real. Even if he comes back, this is regular season, and though the games matter right now as we're close with Oakland, I mean, no one's going to remember this game specifically after it's over. So definitely going to be a tough game for him, but, you know, it's a challenge that you should be up to. He's our number one pitcher and our number one guy, and he should be accepting of this challenge, whether he's coming off, you know, injury or not.
Yeah, but if you're talking like the Yankees, that's like being hurt in the NBA and you have to come back and play the Heat. So, I mean, the Yankees, they may not be the Yankees of the past, but they definitely have some hitters. But Yu Darvish, he has like, what, 157 strikeouts? He's not worried about the Yankees. He's not worried about A-Rod's not swinging a bat. Jeter's not back, so it's not the full Yankees.
Well, you mentioned A-Rod, and he actually is coming back for Monday. He will be playing in the Monday game against Yu Darvish. But you said Derek
Jeter.
But
who cares? It's A-Rod is, I mean.
It's A-Rod now, not A-Rod 10 years ago. But Derek Jeter, he's actually not going to be there. He's back on the DL. So do you guys think he came back too soon? Derek Jeter?
Gosh. We just have to see. I mean, it all depends on, you know, what he does and the numbers he puts up. You can never really judge a guy. People talking about Kobe coming back in the preseason.
Yeah.
I mean, so, you know, I think that's not a good decision, but I got to see actually what happens first before I can make an opinion of what Derek Jeter, you know, whether his decision is the right one or not.
He's the face of the franchise. You know, most fans want to see him at least in the lineup because without Derek Jeter, let's face it, the Yankees are a completely different team. We have seen, but I mean, I think he should have waited. He should have did the Derrick Rose decision, came back when he was fully healthy to help his team because it hurts your team more when you're not 100% and you can't do the things that they know you can do. So, I mean, I feel as though he should have waited a little bit longer. A-Rod should have definitely waited a little bit longer because he's not going to help them none whatsoever.
Speaking of Derrick Rose, I saw a thing the other day on him. You know, a couple things. You know, LeBron James had no rings. The last time Derrick Rose played, LeBron James had no rings. Jason Terry and Jason Kidd were both Mavericks.
Yeah.
Dwight Howard was still on the Magic. And this show didn't exist. Yeah. And that does not seem like a long time ago. Like, it seems like, you know, D Rose went down not that long ago. Yeah. But it's been a long time.
It's been a very long time, yeah. Well, let's finish off the Rangers. The pitching matchups for the series starting tonight, well, it may not be starting tonight with the rain, but if it starts tonight, if it's not delayed, we've got Chin versus Holland tonight. Chin is 4-3 with a 2.82 ERA, and Holland is 8-4 with a 3.08. And then Saturday, we've got Gonzalez, a 7-3, 3.48 ERA versus Wolf, 1-2, 2.14 ERA. And then Sunday, the Orioles have Tillman pitching for them, who's 11-3 with a 3.95 versus Perez, who's 3-2 with a solid 3. So who do you guys got in each of these games?
It's going to be really close. And even in the pitching matches, not just the bats, it's going to be really close. Chris Davis is coming back to the Rangers. That's a big deal. But I think we'll go 2-1. I think the Rangers will go 2-1 in this little stint. Probably, I could see us winning the Holland game. Probably, I think we'll win the first one, and I think we'll win the last one. Maybe lose in the middle with Wolf pitching, but you know, it's a toss up for me too.
I say 2-1, but I might think Tillman. He's 11-3. Apparently, he has something. He's winning 11 games. But the Wolf, I see them winning simply because Wolf has a 2.14 ERA. And, I mean, that's the lowest out of all three pitchers that's pitching. So common sense would tell me that's the best defensive pitcher that they have on this three-game stint. So I'm going to say 2-1. But I agree, all the games are going to be close because the Orioles can hit.
Yeah, definitely.
Well, now we've got the last topic of the day, and we're probably going to breeze through this a little bit quicker than normal just so we can really get out of the storm way and let everybody else do their jobs here at KETR. So let's give you an update on the Jaws QB list.
Gosh.
We just got number 7, number 6, number 5, and number 4. Now, when we last talked, Eli Manning was number 8. So now we know that Ben Roethlisberger is number 7, Drew Brees is number 6, Matt Ryan is number 5, and Joe Flacco was number 4. Now, I want you guys to tell me which ones you think are good and which one you think is overrated or underrated.
I think that Joe Flacco's good, and I've always been a Joe Flacco fan, you know, since he came in the league. I think the Ben Roethlisberger one is not any good. I don't understand why Big Ben is 7.
He should have been higher.
Above Eli Manning. The more recent production from Manning. When's the last time Roethlisberger did anything?
Roethlisberger was doing
just
fine.
Did he play in a game last year?
Yes, he did. He got hurt in Cincinnati because our left tackle, he was a rookie. He couldn't block. Let me tell you
something. The last time I heard about Roethlisberger, he's getting in trouble. That's all I'm saying.
You hear about everybody getting in trouble in the NFL. That doesn't matter. Matt Ryan at number 5 isn't wrong for me. Why is he in the top 5 and he has no Super Bowl ring?
Yeah, Matt Ryan doesn't make any sense to me. Good emerging quarterback, but put him above a veteran like Drew Brees?
That don't make any sense.
Put him above Ben Roethlisberger, okay.
No.
Okay,
Ben
is
definitely
sense.
Ahead of Matt.
Put him above Eli Manning. Eli Manning's a 2-time Super Bowl champion in, what, the last 5 years? Has Tom Brady won 2 Super Bowls in the last 5 years? No. Is Peyton Manning? No.
First of all,
no one on the list has had the success Eli Manning has had. That's in the anybody.
Whoa. Ben has 2 rings, just like Eli.
When was that? Was that in the 1990s?
That was in the 2000s. That was in the 2000s. He won before Drew won for Katrina. I don't want to hear it. The top 5 should be all Super Bowl winning quarterbacks. I just don't understand. You putting Matt Ryan in there is like giving him more pressure added on to him because. I mean, he just won his first 2 playoff games last season. And if that's the case, you might as well put Matt Schaub or Andrew Luck in the top 5 if you're going to put Matt Ryan up there because they've been in the playoffs,
too. I think Schaub is – I think you're exactly right. I think Schaub's right there, too. Just because you have a preference over Matt Ryan, over Matt Schaub, it doesn't mean anything when you're looking at production. But as far as the top 3 spots left, I think they got it right.
Oh, yeah.
I think
Tom Brady,
Peyton Manning, Aaron Rodgers, that's a consensus top 3 quarterbacks.
Yeah, they got it right.
Well, see, I don't know. I think you could put, arguably, Drew Brees or Ben Roethlisberger in the top 3.
Oh, gosh.
I don't think Aaron Rodgers, because he's only won 1 Super Bowl.
And, yeah, we did talk about that earlier, too. And that's weird that I say that, because I'm one of the ones who brought that up. That, like, Aaron Rodgers, when's the last time he really did anything in the playoffs? And it was that 1 year they were a wild card, and it seems like a wild card wins it every year.
Yeah.
But, I don't know. Aaron Rodgers, the way he plays in the regular season – puts him up there, kind of like it's like saying Peyton Manning. That's like
true.
Saying what has Peyton Manning really
Peyton
done?
Peyton Manning hasn't done anything in the last.
I mean, he didn't play for a whole year. The last 2 years, we've only seen him play 1 year, and that was in Denver, which was a new system, and him coming back and everything.
Right.
And I guess it's not a new system. I think the Peyton Manning system is what they run there now.
Yeah.
I think wherever he goes, it'll be that way. But I think Tom Brady's number one.
Okay.
I can say that. I can say if Jaws doesn't put Tom Brady number one. Then the whole list isn't credible to me.
First of all, this is Jaws' list. Okay, you know that Jaws showed more favoritism towards some than others. First of all, he put Chad Henning and he put Mark Sanchez in the top 32, period. This is Jaws' list, because if this was mine, Sanchez would not be here. Cobb, Locker, Ponder, Henning, none of these people would be in here. So you got to remember, this is Jaws' list, and you know how he loves Aaron Rodgers. I would not be surprised if he put Aaron ahead of Tom, simply because he just drools over Aaron Rodgers every time he gets a chance.
Well, tell me guys this. What do you guys think is going to be the top 3?
Oh, I think 3 is Aaron Rodgers, 2 Peyton Manning, and 1 Tom Brady.
The smartest 1, 2, 3 you can do.
That seems like everybody's
Tom Brady has 3 rings, so if he don't go 1, I don't see why.
And they're good every year. That's the thing, too. It's not like he just won 3 rings, so he's a legend. No
he dominates his division.
He's good every year and dominates
Dolphins
their division.
Don't give him no competition. Except this year, they might give him a little bit more, but I still see the Patriots winning that division, and I still see them making a playoff run simply because of Tom Brady. I mean.
Well, let's talk about Josh Brent. Now, here's the most recent news on this guy. He's retired from the NFL, so we probably won't have to talk about him anymore, at least for a year or two.
Yeah, until he resurfaces and decides he wants to make a comeback.
But this is the weird stuff for me. Jerry Jones has still never suspended a player from his team in the entire history of him owning the Cowboys. He's never suspended a player for anything. Not Tank Johnson, not Pac-Man Jones. Nobody has been suspended on the Cowboys. So that's interesting. And this saves Roger Goodell from embarrassing the NFL and the Cowboys by having to punish Josh Brown, because he does deserve punishment,
I think.
Because Jerry Jones would have refused to do it. So Brent is 25. And he finished the 2012 season with 22 total tackles, 1.5 sacks, and 1 forced fumble. Now, he was taken by the Cowboys in the seventh round of the 2010 supplemental draft, not in the regular draft.
Why hang on to this guy?
Yeah, I don't get it.
It's not like he's their number one draft pick that, we got to make this work.
Yeah, listen to this. In his entire career, he started 5 starts over 3 seasons, only played in 39 games. He's had 65 total tackles, 1.5 total sacks, and 1 forced fumble in his entire career. So, do you guys think the Cowboys even want him? I mean, I know they have his rights. Do you think they want him back if he unretires?
I don't understand the whole Jerry Jones thing with, not suspending any players. And when you told me that, I was like, I mean, are you serious? Like every NFL team, there should be guys every year that are suspended just because it's going to happen. You know, bad things are going to happen, and it happens in every NFL city. It's not a bad thing, Jerry. If you have to suspend a guy, you're not the bad guy, especially a guy that was taken in the supplemental draft.
The supplemental draft. The draft that's after the real draft.
I understand if it's your number one draft pick, and this guy's supposed to be a not-miss kind of guy.
Terrell Pryor winning his draft, and you see where he's at.
Exactly.
Let's let fans
and
out there
Josh
know.
Josh Brent was, a fifth-round guy?
Seventh
round in
that means he
draft?
Almost didn't make this draft.
I mean, losing him is not going to hurt the Cowboys any.
Especially.
And if it does, the Cowboys have some issues beyond beyond it.
They have deep
anything
issues.
I know how to fix if Josh Brent's the answer.
65 total tackles in 3 seasons and he only had 5 starts. That means he only played when somebody got injured. Or he only played when they was up a lot of touchdowns, which wasn't much because the Cowboys just didn't blow anybody out the past 3 years except for I take that back, the Browns or the Jets or somebody like that. But this guy right here, I mean, it should not hurt the Cowboys. And I mean, plus he tested positive for marijuana twice since his arrest. I mean, that hurts it even more. Like, he's not going to stay clean. He's been in trouble twice. I mean, this
they
is
need to take a
Cowboys.
Page out the Patriots handbook and see.
Exactly.
Maybe it does benefit you to suspend a guy every once
in
a while
for sure.
If he's hurting your team.
Yeah. Well, let's talk about Josh Brent. You think this helps him or hurts him legally? Now, as Jordan said, he's been arrested twice, tested positive for marijuana twice since he was arrested. And also, Stacey Jackson, who is the mother of Jerry Brown, who Josh Brent killed, has said that she's forgiven Brent for what happened. So there's some good, some bad going on in this trial. But there's been a lot of hearsay and stuff thrown around. Like, the media has tried to prove that Josh Brent was drinking as well, and that authorities had proof that he was over the limit drinking after the arrest. That's actually not true. But jurors are hearing all this stuff, potential jurors. Do you think Josh Brent's going to get a fair trial here?
I think it's hard. It's hard to give him a fair trial. When you're looking at jurors, well, first of all, you're going to have to probably get jurors that aren't sports fans because, you know, when the lawyers are looking at selecting their jury, that's probably one question they're going to look at is how often do you watch ESPN? You know, do you know about the Dallas Cowboys? And it's you're probably looking at an all-female jury, to be honest, when you're going to look at something like that and you're going to call in jurors. But, I think he'll end up getting a fair trial. I think our judicial system will hopefully work in favor of Josh Brent and that he will get a fair trial. But definitely, you know, some of the positives, Stacey Jackson does say she forgives Brent for what happened. And it's so sad to see someone lose their life like that in a car accident and for a mother to have to deal with that as her son is an NFL player. And, you know, future looks so bright and something like that happens. But it speaks a lot of her character and her family character that they're able to forgive, you know, Brent for what happened. And it is tough on Brent. You know, I don't want to bail him out here. And we kind of talk about him like, let's get rid of Brent and everything like that. But I think it's for his best. For him to get out of the spotlight and to just go ahead and say, I'm going to retire is in his benefit, because as long as he's a part of the Dallas Cowboys organization,
that's going to hurt him.
Yeah, there's going to be a shining spotlight directly on him at all the time. And now I think that we won't see that.
I mean, Stacey Jackson, I mean, that's his mother. Your mother is always going to be like, I forgive my son, no matter how stupid you do things. Your mother is always going to say forgive you. So on that side, that's a mother's job. The fact that he's failed a drug test twice and see it being arrested, that's really going to hurt him. Because, I mean, you go into court and they're going to be like, okay, well, you failed 2 drug tests. Obviously, you didn't care. And I mean, without even saying anything, that speaks more than anything. Like, he failed twice after he got arrested. So obviously he hasn't learned his lesson. And in the world we live in today, if you cannot pass the test, I mean, in no matter what type of person you are, that's going to hurt you, because it's showing them that you don't care if you're failing a test after you got arrested. So,
well, after Josh Brent has retired, that now has opened up a fourth spot that the Cowboys can fill. And they're doing that right now. They're filling those four spots, or at least three of them. One report says that they're planning to sign ex-Eagle and veteran offensive tackle Demetrius Bell. Now, Bell started 35 of 40 games for Buffalo and Philadelphia over the past few seasons, and he had signed a five-year, $35 million deal with the Eagles last season, but for some reason was cut in February, and it was reported that it was a salary cap move. Now, what do you guys think of us signing this guy? Do you think he's worth the risk?
I really don't know that much about him, to be honest, but you know, if he puts up good numbers, then yeah, we definitely need that kind of spot filled. An offensive tackle, if he turns out good, that's a great move for us. The offensive tackle is something we need. So definitely to pick up a guy like that, I think. And I really don't know the implications of his contract or what kind of money he'll be making. But a guy that the Eagles trusted to give five-year, $35 million deal, the guy must
pretty
have
good.
Showed something.
Pretty good.
So, and it seems like good. Like you said, they cut him in a salary cap move. So it seems like the reason he was, you know, left out to dry was because we need the money. And definitely, if we give this guy decent money, you know, a good deal, we're looking at probably a pretty good deal here with Demetrius Bell.
He's an offensive tackle. The Cowboys need as many offensive tackles as they need. I saw him play in Buffalo. You know, everybody in Buffalo don't play that great. So there's some in the air up there. But in Philadelphia, I mean, he had to protect Michael Vick. It's kind of hard protecting Michael Vick
when he's running around, when he doesn't stay in the pocket.
Like, he takes three steps and he runs outside of the pocket. But, I mean, five-year, $35 million, apparently they say he's good enough to give him a pretty decent contract. So, I mean, the Cowboys need all the help they can get. But the next one, Cooper, Alex Tanny. Can you tell us more who that is?
You know, I really can. I tried to find some information on these guys.
You can't find information on somebody on the internet.
Yeah.
That's pretty weird.
I mean, I didn't look too hard, but I didn't find anything on ESPN or anywhere else. It was Alex Tanny is the second spot, and wide receiver Lavazier Tooney, I'm not sure if I'm saying that one right, is the third person we're signing. So just some, you know, backup guys, because we already have like seven receivers on the roster, and we have
three quarterbacks now. This isn't like Alex Tanny's gonna change our franchise. No,
yeah,
like,
he's the new Tony Romo.
Yeah, exactly. We got the guys in place. We're just filling the roster spots.
Yeah,
and you know, football season's not that far away, so we don't have
training
that much
camp
longer to
is
wait.
Just a few days.
Exactly.
Yeah. Well, that's about going to do it for us on the show today. Be sure to tune in next week. We're going to have a lot to talk about, Cowboys, Rangers. We should be doing pretty stinking soon some fantasy football draft stuff. And then Friday, we hope to have the new softball coach for A&M Commerce on the show and get to talk to him about why he came to Commerce, his plans for the season. I was at the press conference when he was announced as the new hiree, and he actually said that they're going to win the Lone Star Conference Championship, their first full season. So
That's a pretty lofty goal there,
yeah.
But I hope it happens.
Yeah, but I just want to give you guys some history about him. He was at Henderson State first. That was his first head coaching job from 04 to 08, and then since then he was at TWU, Texas Women's University in Denton. So he's been in the Lone Star Conference the past five seasons.
And last year, I think they went to the NCAA Division II championship
game. They played in the Division Championship game, and they've four of his 5 years, I think the last four in a row, he's taken them to the Lone Star Conference Championship. And three of those 4 years, they won the Lone Star Conference Championship and went pretty deep in the playoffs. And then last year, they were in the NCAA Division II Championship game. So we're getting a good coach here. I don't know what Ryan Ivey and Josh Jordan.
I don't know what they pulled off, but they did something awesome.
They did something awesome.
So I hope that definitely the same success is brought here to the East Texas area where we're at.
Yeah. So we're looking forward to talking to him. May not happen this next Friday, but we're looking forward to it. Anyway, just be sure to tune in next week and the weeks after that. Got a lot of stuff going on. I'm Cooper Welch.
I'm Jordan Davis.
And Taylor Phelps.
We'll be back next week. This is KETR's Locker Room.